Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Christ is victorious. Death has been defeated. Last Sunday, we celebrated our joyous day of victory in the church. Death is put away and will never return. And it was a joyous celebration indeed, celebrating what Jesus has done for us. A day filled with beautiful music, a day filled with good food, a day filled with family and friends, and most importantly, a day filled with a reminder of the immeasurable love we have in Christ Jesus. Easter was quite the occasion. But now Lent's over. Easter's in the rearview mirror. Our family and friends have returned home, or we have returned back from visiting them. And we just spent the last week trying to get back in the swing of things, trying to get back to the regular routine at work or at school. And all the while, we're just kind of waiting and biding our time till summer finally gets here. And worst of all, the egg-shaped Reese's cups at Publix are all sold out. Easter has passed. So what now? What do we as Christians do now? It's going to be a long time till we have another major celebration in the church year. Advent doesn't start till December 1st. It's 217 days. And yeah, we've got some stuff in between there, some important days. Pentecost is not that far away. We'll celebrate Thanksgiving. We'll celebrate Reformation Day and many others. But while these are important days for our life as Christians, they're not really ones we build a lot of anticipation for. They kind of sneak up on us. No, it's going to be a long time till we hit another major festival season, till we have the church decorated differently. So what do we Christians do now? What do we do after Easter? Now, if we're being honest, for most of us, we kind of relax. We kind of take our foot off the gas pedal. We give ourselves a break. We just spend a lot of time in church, multiple services, extra Bible studies, prayer vigils, cantata. And so we take some time for ourselves. And this can be statistically backed up because this day, the Sunday after Easter, it's historically the day of lowest attendance in this country. Sunday after Easter, following the day where we have the greatest attendance, is the day of the lowest attendance. It's just kind of what we do as Christians. We take a break after Easter. We get comfortable. And we kind of ride out the summer attending church when we can, but not really letting it get in the way of our vacation plans. We get comfortable after Easter. But you know, last week as Pastor Kevin shared his Easter message, something struck me. He was talking about how Easter and Christ's resurrection is trans-historical, how it falls into our human history, but it changes our human history. It changes our past. It changes our present. It changes our future. And as he shared that point, he shared a verse with us, and it struck me. And it's going to serve as our sermon text today. And the verse was this, from 2 Corinthians, with the word regard highlighted. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. And this verse, it really struck me. Because what this verse says is that Easter changes things. When Christ was raised from the dead, when those disciples saw him, things changed. They were changed. And it sparked a movement in history that changed the world. In just a few short decades, the Christian community had grown so much that they could not be ignored. And just some years later, this Christian community had grown so large, so powerful, so prominent, that the greatest empire this world would ever see took a back seat to that movement. Because these men and women had experienced something that would change them forever. And from that point, they did not regard anything according to the flesh. They were changed. They were a new creation. What they were before did not exist anymore. They were so passionate about this message that changed history that they literally were willing to give their lives testifying to that good news. They were no longer what they were before. Easter had changed things. Easter changes everything. And you know, Easter didn't just change things for those early apostles, those early disciples, those early followers of Christ. Easter changes things for us as well. Our lives are changed because of what Jesus did on Easter. Our sins are washed away. They are paid for. In our eternal home, it is ready for us. It is bought and paid for. Easter, it changes us. It changes our lives. It changes our history. It changes our future. And it honestly changes how we live our lives here. It certainly changed how those early Christians lived their lives. So I got to ask us a question. If Easter changes things, why do we often live like atheists? Now let me explain what I mean. We're not atheists. We believe in God. We know what he did for us. We know what Jesus did for us on that cross and what he did for us on Easter morning. And we trust in him. We're not atheists. We're Christians. But yet, despite knowing this, do we let this Easter message change the way we live? Do we let it change our lives? Or do we oftentimes live like atheists? Do we practically, or for all intents and purposes, act like atheists? There's a term I like to use called practical atheism, and it means this: to be a Christian, but to live, act, and make decisions as if God did not exist. How often do we do this? How often do we live most of our lives as if God did not exist? We need to ask ourselves, what's different about the way we live? What's different about the way we think? What's different about the way we plan? What's different about the way we see other people and the way we treat other people? How do we let Easter change our lives? And sadly, oftentimes knowing this Easter message does very little to change the way we live, to change the way we make decisions. We Christians, we like to incorporate God into our lives, but we don't like to hand him the keys. We like to allow him to be the co-pilot to help us. But we still want the controls. We just want him there in case everything goes wrong, and then he can take control. If we're being honest, the majority of our decisions, our relationships, our actions, our plans are made without prayer, without scripture, without taking a moment to see the bigger picture that Christ has assured in his death and resurrection. We live much of our lives no different than an atheist would. We often fail to let Easter change us. But yet we go back to our scripture today and we see that verse. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. That verse is very clear. Easter changes things. It changes our worldview. It changes how we think and how we see things. Knowing that Easter message, it makes our life very different. It makes all the decisions, all the actions that pertain to comforts here, it makes them so much less important. It makes this life less important. And that's why before this verse, Paul used a wonderful analogy for us. The analogy of a tent versus an earthly home. And Paul says this: for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we were away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's our calling, to live by faith, not by sight. To live by faith in what Jesus did for us on Easter. Easter, it changes the way we live. It changes the way we do things. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we see people and the way we make decisions. This life, it's temporary. because of Easter, it is just a small piece of the puzzle. So I ask you that question again that I asked at the beginning of the sermon. What now? After hearing this good news once again, are we simply going to go back and live our lives as we normally do? Getting to church when we can, but not letting it really interfere with what we want? Essentially living like an atheist might? Or will we allow this message of Jesus Christ to permeate our entire lives, our thoughts, our actions, our plans? Will we regard nothing according to the flesh, as St. Paul said? Will we view this life as what it is? A tent, a temporary home. Because we basically have two ways we can go about this. We can spend this life trying to make this temporary home as comfortable as possible, or we can view this life for what it is, a temporary home, a temporary dwelling place while we wait for that mansion being prepared for us in heaven, and see it for what it is, a temporary home that no matter what we do to it will never be as good as what we have waiting for us. That is how Easter changes things. Easter changes things because we know what Christ has prepared for us is so much better than this life could ever be. It changes the way we see things. It changes the way we plan. It changes what we do and think. You know, to an atheist, their point of view, this tent, this earthly dwelling, this temporary place, it's all there is. It's everything on their mind, everything they worry about, everything that matters. But we're not atheists. We know what we have in store for us, something of so much greater value. And that is why we choose to not regard things according to the flesh. Yep, we're sinful. We are the flesh still. We are weak. And we often will continue to live our lives like atheists, failing to put God first, failing to put his Easter message first and at the forefront of our minds. But Jesus died for those sins. He died even for the sins of us hearing the good news and then going on living like we hadn't heard it. The disciples were this way too. Peter, he was the first one to confess who Jesus really was. He knew him. He believed in him. Yet when push came to shove, he denied him. He denied him because of the fear that this earthly home would not be as comfortable if he said who he truly believed Jesus to be. Peter lived like an atheist at times. But Jesus restored him, he forgave him, and like us, he sent him out to share this message of Easter, to do God's work, to love his people, to tell his story. And he sent out the other disciples and the other early Christians to do the same. And they were the rock on which the church was built, the rock on which this message changed the world. But they didn't do it alone. They didn't do it alone because by themselves, they were simply sinners like us, more inclined to worry about today than to think about the bigger picture. Left alone, they, like us, wouldn't have been a whole lot of good to anyone. So God didn't leave them alone. Instead, we see in our gospel text today, Jesus' first interaction with these disciples where he says this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, not only did Jesus not leave them alone, he never really left them at all. Instead, he gave them a person of his own Godhood to guide them, to lead them, to motivate them. And by that Spirit, the word was spread. They were led, they were strengthened. While their flesh was weak, the Spirit was leading them, and God's word prevailed. So it is with us. You know, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit all that much. We definitely don't talk about the Holy Spirit as much as the Father or as Jesus. And some of this is our fault. Some of it's our fault for not being attentive to the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. But also, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit as much because the Holy Spirit's work doesn't need to be recognized in the same way. What I mean is this. What the Holy Spirit's main function is to focus us back on Jesus, to keep our minds on Jesus, to keep our minds on what Jesus did for us, to keep our minds on Easter. And if we keep Easter at the forefront, if we keep what Jesus did for us on Easter in mind, we can't continue to live the same way. It is simply impossible to know what he did for us and do things the same way. And that Holy Spirit is already alive and well in each of us. It is how we came to faith, and the Holy Spirit is already leading us and guiding us. All we can do is resist. So don't resist. Let the Spirit lead. Let the Spirit lead your life through prayer. Let the Spirit lead your life through God's Word. Let the Spirit lead your life through simple, quiet moments where you reflect on the bigger picture, on what Jesus has done for you. And most of all, let the Spirit lead by keeping you focused on Easter, on what Jesus did for us on that day, where he ensured that this temporary home is not all that we will ever have, and it is by far not the best we will ever have. You know, I began this sermon with the question, what now? What do we do now? What do we do after Easter? And I imagine the early Christians asked that question quite a bit. What now? What's next? What do we do now? And that's why Jesus gave them the Spirit to lead them, to guide them, to strengthen them, and to keep them focused on God's love, on what Jesus had done for them. And that's what they did. Despite their sinfulness, despite their inadequacies, despite their own weaknesses, they allowed the Spirit to lead. They allowed the message of Jesus to lead, and they did work that went well beyond this temporary home. And when asked why they lived their lives how they did, why they lived their lives differently than the rest of the world, those early Christians, they had a simple answer. And the answer was this: because Jesus Christ is risen. Their answer was Easter. And we have the same answer today. Today, when you are asked why you live your life differently, why you see things differently, why you plan differently, why you make decisions differently, why you look at people and treat people differently, you have that same answer: because Jesus Christ is risen. And that changes things. It changes us. We are Easter Christians because our whole lives revolve around that day. On that day, Jesus Christ changed history, and he changed our lives too. He changed the place of our eternal existence. May the Holy Spirit constantly remind us of Easter, of what Jesus did for us on that day. And when we ask ourselves why we do things differently, the answer is simple: because Jesus Christ is risen, and because that changes things. Amen. And now, may the